I couldn't think of any other topics that dealt with being a shliach tzibur, but if you think of any other ones, let me know. So this is, I think we're up to number 26, beginning Chazaras HaShatz. So last time we dealt with saying Gal Yisrael out loud. Now we're up to how you actually do Chazaras HaShatz. So basically what I'm referring to is, what is the only real issue when you start Chazaras HaShatz that you sometimes find between different shluchei tzibur?
That's
a fair topic to discuss, but technically that's not nogeir to the shliach tzibur per se. So also not nogeir to the shliach tzibur per se. That's just different neschos, right? But I was thinking of where some shluchei tzibur, very few and far between these days, will say Hashem svasai tiftach out loud, and some will not, right? Mostly will not. So that's the question. What would be the reason to do it? What would be the reason not to do it? Right? So let's start with that. So basically, the Shulchan Aruch starts off, Kishiyachzer shleach tzibur hatfila yomar gam kein Hashem sosai tivtach. So when you do Chazar HaSarach, you should also say Hashem sosai tivtach. Now, why does he say also? Because in the previous sif, this is Kufchav Gimel Vav, and Kufchav Gimel Hey, we'll do that next. Shouldn't have done it out of order like that, but I was really more concerned with the ending of Chazaras HaShatz for the three steps back business. So you already said you're supposed to take three steps when you're Chazaras HaShatz, and he says you're also supposed to say Hashem Sosai Tiftach. So even when you start your Chazaras HaShatz. And then the Ramah throws in Aval Eino Omer B'Sof Atfila Yularatzo. But the Shliach Tzibur should not, when he finishes, it says, Baruch Atah Hashem Amarech Asamo Yisrael Bashalom, he shouldn't say Yul Ratzon Imrefi. So he should say Hashem Sosai Tiftach, but he shouldn't say Yul Ratzon. So that's a little weird. But as we'll see, there is a reason for this. It appears, I did not include the Gemara. Oh, I did include the Gemara on this. So let's go back to 26. That was 27. All right, so 26. What is this all based on? So this is in the middle of the sugya, if you recall, on Dalet Amud Beis and Brachos, talking about doing Smichas Gula Tfila at Marv. So do you have to do Smichas Gula Tfila at Marv or not? So that was Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan, who says you do have to do it, versus Rabbi Shuman Levi, who says you don't have to do it. And they were trying to bring Raya's one way or the other. So now they had a kasha against Rabbi Yochanan, who says you need Smichas Gula Tfila at Marv. It says, Masiv Marv Brei de Ravina. Interesting, both Ravina and Ravashi had a Sunday Mar. So there's Mar Bar Ravashi and Mar Brei de Ravina. So it says, Ba'erev Mavarech Shtaim Lefaneh, Shtaim Lacharel. So he says, you have to do two Birchos Kriya Shema after Kriya Shema on Marv time. So wait a second. If you talk about during the day, how many do we do after? We only do one. Why? Because that's Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. Here you have Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael and Baruch Hashem Shemer Mo Yisrael Lo'at. So what's going on here? V'yamit boy lismoch haloka samachul tefila. D'habinu l'memar hashkivenu. Because after you have Gal Yisrael, you then have the whole Baruch of hashkivenu. So how's that Smichas Gula Tefila? So Amri, we answered, Kevan de Takinu Rabbanan Ashkivenu ki Geula Richta Damya. She says, since, the question is how you read these words. Since the Rabbanan established Hashkivenu, it's like a lengthy Geula. Because if you don't say this idea, Shachris Hechi Mati Samach. How are you ever going to do Smichas Gula Tefila at Shachris either? So at the beginning, Rabbi Yochanan says, at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, you say Hashem Sosai Tiftach, and at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you say Yul Ratzon. So that seemingly would be an interruption between Gal Yisrael and the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Ella Hassan came into Takinu Rabbanan Lameimar Hashem Sosai Tiftach Kitfila Richta Damya. Hachanami came into Takinu Rabbanan Lameimar Ashkivenu Kigula Richta Damya. So he says, just like over there, when the Chacham, or since the Chachamim established, you're supposed to say Hashem Sosai Tiftach at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, it's like a longer version of the Tefillah, so too Ashkivenu is like a longer version of the Geula. So that is the Gemara's actual wording. Now, a couple of notes from here. Number one, the Gemara calls it Ki Tefila Arich Tadamya versus Ki Geula Arich Tadamya. So Hashem's Zayi Tiftach is referred to as a lengthening of the Tefila, not a lengthening of the Geula. And another note is that the Gemara puts Hashem's Zayi Tiftach in the same boat as Yula Ratzon and Refi. They seem to be the same thing. So the question is how you read this Gemara, and I didn't give you all the Rishonim on this, but there's a basic chakira in how you learn the Rishonim as to whether or not we're talking about what about it makes it not be a hefsik. Is it that it's actually considered thematically and even perhaps in a real way part of the tefillah? Or no, is it just that the Rabbanan thought this was worthwhile, and therefore Heimamru Veheimamru, they said that it's not considered a hefsik because we had an unrelated good reason to say it. So therefore, yes, it's a hefsik, but we're the ones who said don't make a hefsik, and we say this hefsik is okay. So that's a basic hakira that they have. Reb Shechter has this in Bikvei Atzon. He throws in the opinion of the Rush versus the Ritz Geus, or whatever, where he tries to show how that's the machlokas that they have over there. Is it just a din like Hey Mamru Ve Hey Mamru? Like, or you could say it like in the more yeshiva shalosh, and they'll sometimes say, is it a din of Min Bemino Eino Chotzeitz? That that you don't have, you ever heard that concept in halacha? They actually just had it in the Daf Yomi. They said that if you have twins coming out of a Petra Hamor, how do you know which one is the Bechor or not? So let's say even the first one that came out, but the second one was on its way out as well. Maybe it was Chotzei. It's not considered Peter Rechem because it didn't come out of the Rechem at the same time. So the Gemara says, Min Bemino Eino Chotzei. That if it was a donkey and a donkey, they're not Chotzei between each other and the Rechem in general. And there are a lot of examples like that of we consider it not to be a Chatzitza if it's the same thing. So the colloquialism of Min Bemino just means that, like, no, that's Tefillah and that's Tefillah, and therefore it's not a hefsik to have a little extra tefillah going on over there. Or do we say no? We could say even more than that, that it's actually part of the Shmoneh Esrei. The Chacham said Hashem Sosai Tiftach is part of the Shmoneh Esrei. That's what Tefillah Arich Tadamya means, that they were misakin, that this is part of the Shmoneh Esrei. And therefore, of course, if you're the Shliach Tzibur, you're going to have to start with Hashem Sosai Tiftach because that's the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. It's not just something that the Rabbanan thought would be a nice thing to stick in there, and it's not a Chatzitza because they said so. Right? So that's the basic hakira as to how you're going to learn it. So obviously, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be suggesting, and perhaps the Ramah would agree, that Hashem Sosai Tiftach is considered to be part of Shmoneh Esrei, and that's why the Shliach Tzibur has to start with it. But if you're going to say that, then how could you do away with Yula Ratzon? Yula Ratzon doesn't seem to have a different status in the Gemara than Hashem Sosai, right? It seems to be that they're both the same. So you can't really have one without the other if you're going to assume that it's basically the same, it's basically part of Shmoneh Esrei. So some would suggest perhaps that the Shulchan Aruch holds that Hashem Sosai Tiftach is the same as Yula Ratzon, and they're both part of Shmoneh Esrei. And when the Mechaber says, the Shliach Tzibur says Hashem Sosai Tiftach, that's just part of the Shmoneh Esrei. And the Ramah is coming and saying, no, Hashem Sosai Tiftach is not part of the Shmoneh Esrei. It's worth saying before you begin Chazar Sashatz, because it's a nice introductory pasuk, but it's not part of the Shmoneh Esrei in any way. And therefore, you can do away with Yula Ratzon during Chazar Sashatz. And we'll see, we'll get into this a little bit better. So the two reasons why the Ramah suggests you can, to explain the Ramah's suggestion that maybe you can do away with Yula Ratzon. The first one is the Taz. So in 28, the Taz says, Avalino Olam V'Sof, Nira Tam Lezeh Dibish Lama Hashem Sosai Tiftach Tzarech Shiyomer Kedei Sheyazor Lo Hashem Yizbarach Litin Lo Kavonah Salev L'Espal. He says, you always need Siyata Dishmaya to have real Kavanah. So Hashem Sosai Tiftach, you see right away that it's like, he's clearly treating it like it's not part of the Shmoneh Esrei. Saying like, it's a nice bakasha that we start off the Shmoneh Esrei with, like, Hashem, please help me out here that I can actually daven properly. So I want to have good Kavanah, so please help me. Aval achar atvila shu mispalo b'shvil acherim lo shayach lomer v'egyon libi ki lo hispalo al atzmo. In other words, what's the idea? Yularatzon imrefi v'egyon libi lefanecha. You know what my kavana was. So even you know what I want, even if I didn't really pour it into the Shmoneh Esrei properly. Right? Some say that that they'll say that even if you didn't have kavana for the whole Shemoneh Esrei, at least have kavana during the pasuk of Yula Ratzon, because you're basically saying that Yoli Milafanecha Hashem, you know what I want. You know I should have done better. I should have had more kavana. But at the very least, you know what's going on in my innermost thoughts, and therefore, please make it kilu. I had those kavanas. So he says, lo ispala atzma lo hayat tzarich lomar vehegyon lev hashomim hatfila. In other words, it's not hegyon libi lefanecha; it's hegyon libam lefanecha. So to say that pasuk is not so shaykh. The aim zeb nusach pasuk, and that's not what the pasuk is. So therefore, we're not going to change the pasuk for that. That's the reason of the Taz. So he's saying that the concept of Yula Ratzon doesn't really fit with Chazaras HaShatz, as opposed to Hashem Sosai Tiftach does fit with Chazaras HaShatz. You're asking Hashem, please make me successful at what I'm about to do. Yula Ratzon doesn't really fit with Chazaras HaShatz because you're not davening for yourself, you're davening for the whole tzibur. And Levusha says, no, you only say Yula Ratzon when your tefillah is over. When you're the Shlech Tzibur, you're still going. He says, V'kasha, Demkein Yachid Nam. He says, no, but the Shlech Tzibur is just going to say the same tefillah that everybody else is going to say. So, all right, that's Rav Soloveitchik has a word on that. We're not going to get into right now in terms of explaining what the Levusha is talking about.
Shlech Tzibur is part of the cloth.
Right.
So it's not that he's saying for himself, but really he should be praying for everyone else. He's praying for everyone else and himself.
He already had his Shtil Shemoneh Esrei.
Right. He davened already for himself personally. Now he's davening for the Tzibur, right? So whatever that means, like we didn't discuss it much last time. It was already a month ago or something, but we didn't discuss it much. But even if you say the Rav Soloveitchik's word about Tfilas HaTzibur, so. It's not really personal for himself, per se. So he says, "Hegyon libi lefanecha." It should say libenu, right? Our kavana shouldn't say libi, and therefore it's not accurate in terms of describing what just went on. That's how the Taz wants to explain it. Right, it's not the world's greatest explanation, but you hear what he's saying. The Magen Avram just says a different explanation, and it has a big nafkamina between the Taz and the Magen Avram, and this is the more standard explanation. It says, "The somech al tiskabel tzlosom." He says, no, because he's going to say Kaddish Shalim. And in the Kaddish Shalim, that's where he really ends off. And that fits in much better with the Levush, because the Shlich Tzibur's Tefillah is considered to be going on after Chazar Sashatz. And everything he does even after Chazar Sashatz is also on behalf of the Tzibur. And he's going to say, Tiskabel Tzlo Son of Oson, the Chol Beis Yisrael. So that's basically like the more global Yula Ratzon.
So you wouldn't be saying it if there was like top 10?
So that's a good question. Like, so what constitutes a hefsek in that regard, right? So that's why some don't like that explanation of the Magen Avraham, because saying, yeah, but there are other things that are coming in between, so it's not really so great. But so the Magen Avraham is, and like the Levush is obviously holding that. But even with the Tachanun is really the needs of the tefillah. Everything that happens is the tzorach of the tefillah. And therefore, you're really okay. We'll see that extends even to the concept of the three steps back. But everything is based on everything is an extension of the tefillah for the shliach tzibur. He's not done with his job. Now, one nafkamina that people point out is, let's say you're going to switch shluchei tzibur before Kaddish Tiskabel. A lot of times you have, let's say, three guys in Avelus. So one guy will daven up until Baruch Hu. One guy will daven from Baruch Hu through Chazar Sashatz. And one guy's going to daven Ashrei Avol Tzion. He's going to say the Kaddish Tiskabel. So some poskim say, oh, they got to bring back the guy who davened Shmoneh Esrei to say the Kaddish Tiskabel. You can't have the new guy say it. That's never happened. I don't want to say never, but I've never seen it. Right? So you don't bring the old guy back to say the Tiskabel at that point. So you have the new guy saying the Tiskabel. So if you're going to bring in the new guy to say the Kaddish Tiskabel, then the Shlech Tzibur for Shmoneh Esrei should say Yula Ratzon, because he's done with his tefillah for the Tzibur. And he's not going to be able to be Somich on the Kaddish Tiskabel. But either way, Magen Avram points out, he quotes from the Shalah, he says, the Shalah costs of Lomer Yula Ratzon. He says, no, you should be saying it. Why aren't you saying it? And that Shalah is also quoted. I give you from the Mishnah Berurah there, but the Mishnah Berurah concludes with, the Shalah costs of Lomer Yula Ratzon, the Kasav Agra, the Divrei Shalah Iker. Right? So the Bir Agra, Kidarko, is very Bekitzer, and he basically just quotes the Magen Avram, and he says, Ayin Sham B'Shem Ashla V'Divrei Ashla Iker. Right? He says you should say Yula Ratzon. That's the correct pasuk to do. Okay, so that's the shita of the Shla and the Gra and the what's his name also holds this way. The vast majority of Achronim hold this way, that the Shliach Tzibur should say Yula Ratzon, as he should say Hashem Sosai Tiftach against the Ramah. That's the Derech HaChaim, which is the Nesivus' sitter. He holds you're supposed to say Yula Ratzon, as well as the Aruch HaShulchan. He holds you're supposed to say it. And a lot of name-dropping you could do over there with the various Achronim who hold that you should follow the Shla's Psak rather than that of the Ramah. And the Shliach Tzibur should say Yula Ratzon, not be Somech on just Kaddish Tiskabel. That is point number one. Now, whether or not you should say it is one point. What about even if so basically there's no one who holds you shouldn't say Hashem Shosai Tiftach, but you never hear anybody saying it. So why is that? So the real answer is I don't know. But if you look in the Mishnah Brura, this is in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph, Sifkat and Yud in the Mishnah Brura. It's much earlier in the Shulchan Aruch. He basically the Shulchan Aruch. That was the first iteration of when the Shulchan Aruch said, "Yeah, even though you said Hashem Sosai Tiftach when you davened your silent Shmon Esrei, you should also say it again when you do Chazaras Hashatz." And there, the Shmon Esrei, the Mishnah Brura says, "The pasuk zehu shayach l'tfila, k'moshen is karnav el, the tov shiomrena b'lachash." And it's good to say it quietly. Doesn't say why. And I looked. They quoted also B'shem Shulchan Aruch Harav. He also just says Tov Lom Shiyom Yomrena B'lachash. I have no idea why. Must be Kabbalistic. I don't know. They don't give a reason as to what the purpose of saying it quietly is. But it as apparently the minhag of Sfardim who follow the Shulchan Aruch is to say Hashem Sosai Tiftach out loud. And most Ashkenazim, I'm aware of. I remember one time davening for the Amid in a shul, and it actually said there were a few instructions for the Shliach Tzibur, and one of the instructions were the Shliach Tzibur should say Hashem Sosai Tiftach and Yula Ratzon quietly. So, and they, I don't think they wrote in parentheses as per the Mishnah Berurah, but that's what they were saying. They're following the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. They don't. So, but they assumed it was the same for some reason. If you're to say it at all, I don't know of anyone who says only Yula Ratzon out loud. And not Hashem Sosai Tiftach out loud.
Maybe because it's a more private tefillah, meaning Hashem Sosai Tiftach isn't really a...
It's not, it's said, B'lashon Yachid, so maybe that's why. But it's interesting. But the Shulchan Aruch definitely doesn't hold that way. He says it's part of the Chazaras Hashatz, you should say it out loud. You know, that same way you'd say everything else in Chazaras Hashatz out loud. So I liked very much this tshuva from Rav Moshe Sternbach, because it fit in nicely, I think, with the way I was learning the sugi at the time. But we'll try to take it quickly. Says v'nira pashut shela divrayim tzarach lomar yula ratzon v'chein Hashem Sosai Tiftach b'kol ram kasvardim. He says it's obvious to me. And I picked it up in the second paragraph of the tshuva. Tshuvas are very short anyway. But this I gave you the shorter version of the tshuva. But so he says that it's better to follow the opinion of the Svardim. Shim Omer Belachash, if you say it quietly, Lo Nikra Tefilas Hashatz. Nothing you say quietly is part of Chazaras Hashatz, Klal, El Ketfilas Yachid Atzma Besof. Vim Kain Chaser Bishlemas Atfila. Demash Omer Ashliach Tzibur Biyachid, Lo Nikra Tefilas Hashatz. Umakalkel Bechol Chazaras Hashatz. Shatakana Haisa Lachzar Atfila Kula Bechol Ram Ba'az Yatsu. So this is a very important yisod. He's saying, whatever is part of Chazaras Hashatz has to be said out loud. And if you don't say it out loud, it's not part of Chazaras Hashatz, and you're not Yotze. If you skip words in Chazaras Hashatz, you're not Yotze.
So modim?
Oh, modim is going to be a big deal, right? So modim, everyone agrees modim has to be said out loud. At some point, when I was growing up, I don't know there are any exceptions to this. When I was growing up, every single shul, my elementary school, everywhere, everybody said modim, and then the Shliach Tzibur would pick it up. Hatov kilo chalurach amecha v'amarachim kilo samachazdech. That's what happened. I don't know if that happened to you, but that's what happened everywhere where I went to shul. Now you'll find a lot of people saying modim out loud, which we'll try to get to that by the end. But saying modim, how exactly you should go about it, but definitely it has to be said out loud. All Chazaras Hashatz has to be said out loud. Whether or not the other guy, the Tzibur, has to listen to you say modim, that's a different story. But even if you say they don't have to listen to you say modim, you have to say it out loud. Otherwise, how could it be considered the tefillah for the tzibur? So that's his suggestion. He says every part of tefillah has to be b'kol ram. Kevin shelo amar b'kol ram bital ikar takana. Says there's no more takana if you didn't say parts of b'kol ram. Al kor chamina sheroy lomer yil ratzon b'kol ram. Therefore, I say you have to say it out loud, even yil ratzon. Rabbeinu agra zatzal beviuro sof simen kuf samach gimel hiskim lashla shemayv magen avram. He says when the Gra says you're supposed to follow the Shla and say Yula Ratzon, his Kavana is to the Gemara and Brachas that we saw. It says, in other words, he basically spoke out what we had been talking about. Is Yula Ratzon, is Hashem Sosai Tiftach and Yula Ratzon part of the Shemon Esrei or not? And he says, yeah, if you hold it's Tfila Richta, then it's part of the Shemon Esrei and it's part of Chazar Sashatz and it has to be said out loud. Right, Domestic Eliezer is one of the many Pirushim on the Bira Gra and Minhagim of the Gra, and he says that his opinion was that the Gra Shita was to say it out loud, although it doesn't say that outright in any of the writings of the Gra. V'zeu hilchasa rabasa b'siyata d'shmaya lizar shashalatibi yomer b'kol ram yu l'ratza nachin Hashem sasai tifta. Right, it says, and this is a big halacha. You got to teach it to people that the shliach tzibur should say both of these psukim out loud. V'yamtin hashatz b'siyam shmon esrei. I don't think we're not gonna have a minion. Shmon esrei ad shatzibur yano amen sheshayach od levracha sheshomei nias amen shebezeh me'olam tvei. Fine, mula tvei. Sorry. Rak achak yomer yil ratzon. You should wait till everybody finishes the amen, and then you should, you know, they say I'm a varach shmon shabba shalom, and then wait till they finish amen, and then say yil ratzon. And then he says, okay, that's how we do it where I daven. Okay. Fine. So that's Rav Sternbach's psak against the Mishnah Berurah who says you could say it quietly. He says, of course it has to be out loud. So Lemaisa, my problem is I don't know where the Mishnah was getting the idea from to say what the downside is of saying it out loud. To me, just with what's in front of me, you should definitely say it out loud because you might not be Yotzei Shmon Esrei, you might not be Yotzei Chazar Shatz at all, and you're losing out on whatever positive the Mishnah Berurah says you get from saying it quietly. But I don't know what you get from saying it quietly. It's not, in other words, Mamela, you could say, all right, the Ramah holds is not part of Shemon Esrei. Fine. So the Ramah holds is not part of Shemon Esrei, so you're not losing out badly on saying it quietly to yourself because it's like a little mini tefillah for yourself. So maybe that's what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about. It's good to say it quietly. But the Mishnah Berurah's comment is going on the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch definitely holds to say it out loud. So I don't know, maybe the Mishnah Berurah doesn't think the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are arguing that min ha-kotze el ha-kotze. He doesn't learn them as this, you know, Chakira type machlokes, that one mandamer holds that it's part of Shemon Esrei, and one mandamer holds it's not part of Shemon Esrei. I don't know. Otherwise, maybe the Mishnah Berurah is just, he's not really commenting on the Mechaber, he's just saying, we Ashkenazim, who also say Hashem Sosai Tiftach, we say it quietly, because we hold like the Ramah, that it's not really part of Chazar Shatz. But if you say that, then we Ashkenazim, who the Mishnah Berurah seems to like, or at least feel free to quote, that we do say Yula Ratzon, and because we paskin like the Shla. So if you paskin like the Shla, then I don't know. I think there's more of a reason to say it out loud than not to say it out loud. But again, it could be that if somebody explains to me why the Mishnah Berurah thinks it's great to say it quietly, that will be a very compelling reason. I don't know. But I don't know what the reason is right now. All right, so that's that little subject over there. What about taking three steps? So if you're the Shliach Tzibur. So if you look in 33, that's actually the previous sif to what we started with. Gam Shliach Tzibur Tzarech Livsoa Gimel Psios Kishim Espal Balachash Uchesheyach Zorat Tfila B'kol Ram Ein Tzarech Livsoa Gimel Psios. So he says, when you start your silent Shmon Esrei, you don't have to take three more steps for Chazaras HaShatz. And the Ramah just adds in, Imlo Ispal Balachash Rak B'kol Ram. That's only if you're doing like a Hecha Kedusha or whatever. You're only davening out loud. Right? So, I'm sorry. No. I just did that wrong. Sorry. Imlo Ispal Balachash Rak B'kol Ram Posei Agimopsios Akhar Tfilas HaShe B'kol Ram. So he says, but if you're not davening quietly, let's say you're doing a Heichal Kedusha, so then you take three steps back when you finished your out loud Shemon Esrei. So what are we talking about? So he says, B'kol Ramein Tzarech, Mishnah Berurah explains, D'somech ala psios shel hakadish she'achar uval etzion. So he says, because this Shliach Tzibur, and this sort of goes back to what we quoted in the name of the Levush and the Magen Avram, that he says, you don't have to take three steps back when you finish Chazaras HaShatz, because you're going to take three steps back at the end of your Kaddish Tiskaba. So he says, Afopi Shemafsikin B'kriyas HaTorah V'Halil V'Avinu Malkeinu. Right? There's all kinds of stuff going on before that. You're sitting down for Tachanun. So he says, no. Kul L'Seder HaTfilah Bo. That's all part of davening. The Kaddish Alachreim, Choser Iker Al Tfilas. I mean, so you're going to say Kaddish Tiskabel, and that's really lumping everything together. So the three steps back you take after Tiskabel, that's the real place to it. And that's not just a Achron Shavart, that's a Trim Sadesh. Umikan Diktiku Achronim, the English Lechibra Ledaber Beni Oveni Vesicha. That's why you have to be very careful. Sometimes we'll talk about this also. Rating for the rabbi, you notice on the bottom. But sometimes the Shliach Tzibur gets a good schmooze in while he's waiting for the rabbi to start Chazar Shas. He says, no, that's really bad, because your Kaddish Tiskabel is going to go on everything. So the truth is, it's not as bad. It's still bad, but it's not as bad if he's chopping his schmooze before he starts the Chazar Shas. But if he chops his shmooze after the Chazar HaShatz, let's say during Kriyas HaTorah, you know, a lot of times you'll do the Torah handoff to the Gabbai or whatever, or to the Balkore. You put the Torah down, you're like, that was a good Kedusha. Like, no, that's very bad. Don't. We need you to remain silent till Kaddish Tiskabel. Because that's not the best time to grab a shmooze at that point, because... Right, well, let's assume you are. Let's assume it's your davening for the...
But, like, if you weren't, then it's like you're cutting half.
Right, then you should take... No, then the same poskim I pointed out before would say also you should take three steps back after your Chazar HaShatz.
Besides for the general talking in shul, what's the problem with him doing it because while waiting for the rav?
Meaning his tiskabel... No, so waiting for the rabbi is not as bad.
I mean, there's nothing more wrong about that than doing it.
I'd say that it's probably just the only real problem with it is no worse than a yachid doing it, because it's a question of being mafsik in between tefillah and tachanun, which is, you know, not on the good list of things. And no, that's based on Gemara Bava Metzia with Rabbi Eliezer. Like, you're never going to succeed at bumping off your brother-in-law if you keep talking after Shemon Esrei before tachanun. You have to see the Gemara there.
Okay.
So, what? Wait, Rabban Gamliel was Rabbi Lezer's brother-in-law after he was put into Cherem. So his wife, who was Rabban Gamliel's sister, was always careful to be mafsik him in between his silent Shemon Esrei and Tachanun. And one time she thought it was Rosh Chodesh. There's two possibilities in the Gemara. Either she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, or somebody came to the door and interrupted her. And by the time she came back, it was too late. He had already been fallen on his face. And then that day it was announced that the Nasi, Rabban Gamliel, has died. So Rosh Hashanah told us, he's like, the moral of the story is, if you want to kill your brother-in-law, don't be masik in between Shemon Esrei and Tachanun. So now the Ritva says that on that Gemara. He says that your tefillos have much more powerful effect if they go straight into Tachanun. So you're not supposed to be masik in between Shemon Esrei and Tachanun. Okay, but just staying with this, so in terms of three steps, so you have the Mishnah Berurah pointing out from the Trumas Hadeshin that you shouldn't interrupt in between your Chazar HaShatz and the three steps you're going to take back for at the end of Tiskabel. So that is the Ramaz Psak over there. And I just gave you here from the Nefesh HaRav that he's not the only one who says this, but I'd known it over the years from Rav Soloveitchik, so I figured I'd give you this. This is what I learned, you know, as a kid, so I figured I'd give you this as well. Achein minig rabbeinu ha'yosher rak b'yom she'omrim kaddish tiskabel tekef umiyad bigmar chazar sashatz mebli la'afsik bein time etachanun mechule. Only on days where like let's say it's Nisan. So on Nisan, you go, so you don't even have kaddish tiskabel. Let's say at Mincha you do. Right, so Mincha, you have Kaddish Tiskabel right after chazaras hashatz. So those times that Rav Soloveitchik, oz yesh lo lachazan lismoch al gimel psil sheb soch al kaddish, then he would be somech on kaddish deskabel and not take three steps back after chazaras hashatz. Aval kishem afsikin bedvar macher min tayim. But if you're going to have tachnun, etc., in between, yesh lo lachazan lifsol lachorav achar gmar chazaras hashatz. Right, so that's also Rav Soloveitchik held like that sheet of the Gra that you should say Yula Ratzon out loud. So first you say Yula Ratzon out loud, then you take your three steps back, and even say he doesn't say in here that you say Osa Shalom. Some other poskim say you say Osa Shalom B'mrom when you take the three steps back at that point. You could check the Rav Nevin Sal Mishnah Berurah. For some reason, I'm under the impression that that's what he holds as well. You know, I'm talking about they have that. The Yitzchak Ikare Mishnah Berurah. I don't know. They have Nevin Sal's Ha'aras on Mishnah Berurah. It's like, I think it's mandatory if you go to Nativ, you have to buy it. So the, that's how I've seen it from Nativ guys. I think it might say that in there as well. Okay, but.
This is Ramak, you repeat the Ramak and the Kaf Chav Gimel. Is it
hey? Yeah. Again, he says, "Kishiyachzar atfila b'kol ram ein sarach lachzor lipsol gimel psios." That's the Shulchan Aruch. Im lo ispal b'lachash rak b'kol ram. If you didn't daven a silent shmonas, or you only daven a chazar sashatz, posea gimel psios achat tfilas or shebakol ram. Then you take three steps back after your out loud shmonas.
When would such a thing?
So let's say you have these guys who come to minyan and they just chop what they ahecha kedusha, right? So they don't.
Right.
They're like their own shliach tzibur, you know. They get up there and they just start from chazaras hashatz. Or maybe I guess that would be an example of you. Basically, you're the only guy doing your own chazaras hashatz there. Mm. Okay, so that's another topic. Now, what about waiting for the rabbi to finish? Right. So this is, I don't know. I've never been to a shul where they don't wait for the rabbi.
Were you the young Israel when Rav Asher Weiss was there?
I was, yeah.
So every rabbi was just standing there waiting for him.
Right, so Rav Asher Weiss does have a shul, but I think they just take longer for Shmon Esrei in Eretz Yisrael. So it's not, I mean, one of that's, the irony is that, like, basically, if you're a rabbi of a shul, you can't daven anymore. Like, you want to daven, but like, you got to be quick also, because you can't have, you know, you also need a job. So you sort of just stuck. No, like, I'm a rabbi for like three Shmon Esreis a year. So like for those three Shmon Esreis a year, I just tell the rabbi, you don't wait for me. So. Yeah, you can. There's actually I forgot who writes it. So one of the poskim writes, he said that it's mutter if the rabbi wants to continue davening, but he knows they're going to wait for him. It's actually mutter for him to take three steps back. Whoa. And he can go for the extended NBA pump fake, and still not. It's not a travel. It's not a travel if you're James Harden.
You can only do that a certain amount of time, though.
Right. So
like you do it twice, it'll catch on.
The great Kaela in the white shoes.
Oh yeah, okay, good.
The guy with the full cuff,
right.
And then he stopped. 40 people.
Everybody flew right by. Everybody flew right by, and then he's like, "That's right." I know what you thought was about to happen there. So, do you have to wait for the rabbi or not? Interesting psak of the Ramah here. So he says, Kahal she'espalu v'kulam bakiyim b'tfila, af al pichin yared shleich tzibur b'chozer l'espal, k'dei l'kayim takanas chachamim. So first the Mechaber just says, you still do chazaras hashatz even though everyone's davening. That's you fulfill the takana to do chazaras hashatz. Haga, v'im yesh yechidim b'kol marichim b'tfilasim. Let's say a certain individual is davening along Shmon Esrei. Ein l'shleich tzibur l'hamten aleim, afilu hayu choshuvei ha'ir. Even if they're the most important people in town. V'chein im haya minyan b'veis ha'kneses ein lahamtin al adam chashiv o gadol sha'adayin lo ba. Says also you don't wait to start. Once you get a minyan in shul, you go. You don't wait for the rav or the this great man because that's from the Shals and Tshuvas Binyamin Ze'ev. He quotes him. He's interesting. He was a late Rishon in Greece. The Ramah quotes him from time to time. So the Shals and Tshuvas Binyamin Ze'ev, He holds you don't wait for the rabbi. Tircha de Tzibur beats Kavod HaTorah, and therefore, I mean, if you look at what we do for Tircha de Tzibur, it's really fairly impressive. Like the Ramah Paskins, you can't take the Torah cover and cover over the Torah in between Aliyos because of Tircha de Tzibur. Like, I can't even, if you add it up all the time that would take to put it on and remove it, like, wait, what are we talking about, 3 seconds? Still, you don't do it. All right, there's a lot of things that we're not allowed to add on. Any hosafos you could have, can't make hosafos during the week, even if you really need to. Too bad. Tircha de Tzibur is too much. Right? Not necessarily. No, but in general, well, that's the whole discussion. Are you allowed to add on extra tefillos? Are you allowed to add on all these extra prakim of Tehillim that we see? Now, it's kemat standard at a lot of shuls that, like, after davening is over, we say Tehillim. Like, you're not allowed to do that. I'm saying you're welcome to request that. I mean, as long as it's very clear it's not part of davening, then you're welcome to walk out at your leisure. That's fine. But, like, you can't add to the davening because we're very, very strict on Tircha de Tzibur. Whatever, there's a lot of literature on this, but basically you don't wait for the rabbi. That's the halacha, right? And that's the Mishnah Berurah points out over here. Mipnei Torah Chatzibur, right? Va'achshav, but Mishnah Berurah is like, I've been to shul, and we wait for the rabbi. So he's like, what's going on here?
He was the rabbi.
Right? Well, he was. I don't know if he was always the rabbi, meaning there was definitely a time in his life that the Chafetz Chaim was known as a Baal Bas, and I don't know who the rabbi was. But, so it says, Va'achshav noagu shashliach tzibur mamtin ad she yisayim ha'abezdin est filaso. So he says, why do we wait for the rabbi nowadays? So he says, lefisha rov ha'anashim mispalin b'merutza. Most people daven quickly. Va'mispalin mila b'mila lo yucha lomar kedusha im ha'tzibur. Because if you say the words carefully, you're not going to make it to Kedusha. So we're basically going to penalize somebody for trying to pronounce the words. So he says, that's not acceptable. Lachein mamtinim kihem osim shalo kedin. Therefore, we wait for the rabbi because the people who daven too fast are doing the wrong thing. You're supposed to daven slowly enough that you can actually enunciate the words. Lefichach im ein av bezdin be'ir huadin diyamtino ala mispala mila b'mila. So if the rabbi's out of town, you don't just get to zoom along. You have to find somebody who davens, says the words clearly, and then you wait for that guy. Aval kishemarich ein lahamtin ala. But if he's just davening what we call a langish menesre, then you don't wait for him. Right? And then they say, kumash kasava Rabbi Akiva. That's a pretty good role model. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says about him, kishayim mispala matzibur ha'im akatzer v'ola. When he davened b'tzibur, he davened quickly. Right, but then they said, but if he daven biyachid, he would really, you left him in one corner, you'd find him in the other corner, and Rashi says, because of ribuyish tachavoyos, he was bowing so much, and he was obviously davening very wildly and intensely, but Pitzibur, he wouldn't do that. Fine. So then he says, what about a guy? It's just a cute thing to say. Mishitzarech laharich. Guy needs to daven. He's got a lot on his mind or in his life. And he needs to daven a long Shmoneh Esrei. V'yare she'yitzlotze to all of. And people are going to make fun of him. He's like, that guy. When he's standing for 3 hours for Shmoneh Esrei, what do you think's going on over here? I know that guy. He's not so chashuv. So he says, Yachol leilech la'achorav b'shashem esgadal ha'shleich tzibur afal pisha adayin lo gamar tefillah. So that's what I was thinking of. And that's not the only place where he says it. But you're allowed to take your 3 steps back. Even though you're in the middle of davening, and then finish up when you go back to your seat, to your space. He says, as long as you're a kavan is l'shem shamayim. So he's basically, the reason we wait for the rabbi is so the tefillah will be at a reasonable pace, that if someone actually wants to daven normally, he won't miss out because of it. But technically, it's not because of Kavod HaTorah. So technically, it's because we want to have a reasonably paced davening. That is, okay. It's getting late. You guys have a couple minutes, or you want to cut it off here?
I've got time.
All right, so we'll go a little further. So, what about how do you say kedusha? I'll try to be makatzer a little bit more. Oh, this is the last page, anyway. So how do you say kedusha? So says the Shmoneh Esrei. The Shulchan Aruch. Ein atzibur omrim im hashat in nakdishach. The tzibur is not supposed to say nakdishach. Right, or who had the Nikadesh. Ella show skin umechav nim lamasha shliach tzibur omer ad shemagia lekedusha va'az onem at tzibur kadosh. Right, you're supposed to sit and wait until the shliach tzibur gets to kadosh, 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 and then that's when the tzibur comes in. Because what is right, and what is nakdishach or what is nekadesh? It's basically the shliach tzibur inviting everyone to say kedusha.
You can say shemona esrei during that time, right?
Yes, it's not kedusha. That's the introduction. It's the invitation to kedusha, right? I gave you the first few words of Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah goes on, not really so relevant to us, but hatam de nitkin sheshliach tzibur yomru b'shvil hakol v'yiyeh shlucha, meaning the whole point is that the shliach tzibur is not, he's the shliach of the tzibur to give the introduction, and then everybody answers him. And that's, and if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan here, he says, "V'hinei Rabbeinu Abes Yosef kasev ena tzibur omrim im hashliach tzibur nakdisha chalashok shoskin umechavnin l'mash hashliach tzibur omer ad shemagia l'kedusha v'ein onin atzibur kadosh va'az." Sorry, ad kan l'shona v'zel mitam shebi'arnu shashliach tzibur mechinam umazminam lomer kadosh. He is getting people ready and he's inviting them to say kedusha. Kishem she'ein atzibur omrim yiskadel v'iskadesh ela maschilin miyehesh mei rabba. Meaning that's what a davar shebekedusha is. I say some things, you say some things, right? That's the davar shebekedusha. I'm going to tell you guys, let's you know, praise God in a certain way, and then you guys say, okay, amen, yeish me, rabba marach, right? That's what you're supposed to do. K'mochin bekedusha, tzibur tzrichin lahaschil min kadosh, v'lo lomar nakdisha, v'chein yeish adayin b'miktas makomos haminokein. So the Aruch HaShulchan, he's writing in, where was he, in Nevardik. He's writing in Nevardik in the late 19th, early 20th century, and he's saying, yeah, some people still do this. They go by that Shulchan Aruch, right? Aval b'kol medino seino omrim atzibur gam kein nakdishach on nekadish ve'in kepeda. He says, yeah, but most places they already, the tzibur says it along with. He says, and it's, we're not so makbid. Bazev, anachnu kulanu mazminin atzmeinu l'kedusha. We invite ourselves, you know, we're a little pushy. So we invite ourselves. We don't wait for the invitation. Ulefizeh, hayolanu lomar gamlu masam baruch yomeru. Right, saying, so basically, if we're all inviting ourselves, then we should say all of it. We should say, which we do. We do this. So it's interesting, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, they didn't do that. It says, but that's not the minig. Meaning, apparently in those days, they said Nekadesh, but then they just said Kadosh, Kadosh, Baruch, Kavod, and they didn't say the parts in between.
We do the opposite.
We do all. Meaning that we follow this other mahal. We say Nekadesh, usually. I mean, if you look around most shuls, they say Nekadesh, then they say Kadosh, Kadosh, Lumasam Baruch Yomeru, meaning the tzibur says everything.
Wait. The tzibur says Nekadesh?
Yes. They do it everywhere.
Yeah, well, except in Chait.
Right. That's, I mean, look, Lamais, at the end of the day, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah, I'm saying the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah, and that's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch.
I know.
Saying that's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch is that, that it's better not to. It's better not to. Meaning you're following the Psak on the books more if you don't say it. So the Aruch HaShulchan is just saying, like, all right, we're a little pushy. We invite ourselves.
Also, you know?
Right, so the Aruch HaShulchan is saying either do all or nothing, don't do some. He's like, once basically we're saying that, like, no, we say the introduction with the text. So, meaning everyone agrees the text of Kedusha is Baruch Kavod, is Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kavod. So that's what you're supposed to be saying. Should you say Nekadesh? He's like, no, but it makes more sense not to. But if you're going to say it, then you got to say all of them. Because that makes more sense. He says, we don't have that custom. Apparently in those days they only said Nekadesh. But so he says, yeah, Mikoma, where do we go there? So he says, V'yesh lomar derak kodem ha-kedusha namazminim atzmeinu. Okay, you can explain this one too if you want. It's like, avol betocha kedusha ein retzoneinu lahafsik ba'achanas ha-kedusha. Once we got started already, we don't want to like add in other introductions. V'day v'ashliach tzibur levado. Fine. So he says... So he's like, I can explain all of them if you want. Like, but Lamaisa, the preferred practice is for the tzibur to start from kadosh kadosh and only say the parts that are for the tzibur, and for the shliach tzibur, only say the parts for the shliach tzibur. However, Rav Moshe has a bit of a chiddush here. He says, what should the shliach tzibur say kadosh, kadosh, and baruch kivod together with the tzibur, or should he wait and say it on his own? So here, Rav Moshe suggests, ube'echad she'omed be'emtza tefila she'tzarech lishtok kishomer shliach tzibur kedusha tzarech lishmoa kishomer ha'shliach tzibur ba'atzmo detrei kali lo mishtan. So he says that when you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and they're saying kedusha, what are you listening for? So he says, you got to listen for the shliach tzibur. Don't listen for the tzibur because of this rule of trei koli lo mishtame, that you're not really going to hear anyone well. And therefore, ubefrat kishakol tzibur omer biyacha. And that's really hard. You're not going to make up, you're going to make up this crowd sound, right? You ever notice how crowds make a totally different sound than any single voice, right? So there's nobody out there who sounds like this when he's like the crowd is cheering. You know, it doesn't sound like, that doesn't sound like any one individual. Therefore, the proper minhag is shashlech tzibur yomer hakedusha bekol ram achar sheyomru atzibur baatzmo kidei sheyishmu elu sheomdim beemtza tefila. Even though technically that's not part of the din of saying kedusha, but Rav Moshe recommends that the shlech tzibur should wait, say kadosh kadosh as he's going over it, because that way this person will be able to hear him. But let's say you have a guy next to you who's really loud. You're finishing your Shmoneh Esrei. You're listening for the loud guy. But that's not good enough because you're going to hear him, but he doesn't have in mind to be motzi you. So that's, you have to tell him in advance, you're my guy. I know you like to yell out the Kedusha, so you're my guy. I'm going to listen to you. So he says, Kilirmos, right, he says, Kilirmos lo betfila asr. You're not allowed to like point to him like, eh? Like, you be my guy. You can't do that in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Avo me ashliach tzibur yotze, afshiv is maneinu, ein ashliach tzibur motzio. Even though technically the shliach tzibur doesn't have in mind to be motzi other people when he's doing it. Mikomakom, kevan shenitkan lahotzi, havistam daito lasos kahatakana. Meaning, the guy gets up there even if he doesn't really have specific intent. Right? This is a big thing with Sviris Omer now. Let's say a guy is not making a bracha on Sviris Omer. So we know the shliach tzibur will often make the bracha out loud. So, or the rav make the bracha out loud. So I think the reason they make the rabbi make the bracha out loud is because they have the right to assume the rabbi didn't miss a day of Sphira. Right? So let's he'll be the guy who asked. That's the famous tshuva, the Beis Halevi. Let's say you did miss a day of Sphira.
So yeah.
So are you allowed to continue to save yourself the embarrassment? Can you continue counting with a bracha if you're the rabbi of the shul? So I think he's Makel, yeah. I think he says that he missed a day once. He writing the tshuva about himself, I think he said. So he missed a day once. Like, that's also make you feel better. Like, oh, the Beis HaLevi is a tshuva about it because it happened to him. Like, all right, it happened to Beis HaLevi. It could happen to me, you know?
One can suggest that Kedusha is endearing or whatever, and Trikoli and Mishtamai doesn't apply.
You're saying that everybody loves Kedusha so much?
Or the one guy that's missing is trying hard to...
Yeah, maybe, but we don't. For some reason, they didn't suggest that. So
I mean, it wouldn't solve your problem of the guy not being motzi you. But.
Right. So he says that you're not going to hear so well. So rather, the reason I'm bringing this up is if you're the shliach tzibur, you could be a nice guy. And even though Rav Moshe says the stam das of a shliach tzibur is to follow the rules, so that's why I brought it up, because hopefully the shliach tzibur, if he counts sphere out loud, the rabbi when he's saying the bracha out loud, he knows it's because there are people who need to hear the bracha. So, he's being nice about it and trying to motzi them in the bracha. The shliach tzibur, maybe he doesn't know that. So Rav Moshe is saying, yeah, but his intent is to be the shliach tzibur. The shliach tzibur is the guy who does what the chacham had in mind when they made him the shliach tzibur. So his stam das is to do the right thing, and therefore it counts that he had in mind to be motzi you, even though he doesn't necessarily know what he's doing. So that's, you could be samech on that perhaps also for the bracha. That might be better to like tap the guy next to you for a Sviris Omer and just have him, if you don't trust the shliach tzibur has the right intention, so at least tap the guy next to you and ask him to have you in mind when he makes the bracha. Fine. Last but not least, modim derabanan. So the Mishneh Berurah. So the Mishneh Berurah here basically says the ein hashat tzarech lahamtin ad shiyisayim wa tzibur modim derabanan l'mispal kedarko. So he says that the shliach tzibur doesn't have to wait for the people to finish modim derabanan. He can continue davening. But he says mispal kedarko. He doesn't say it quietly. He says you could say the modim. You know, you can keep saying modim out loud, and they'll say modim drabanan to themselves. And that's acceptable. I think that's the standard practice nowadays. I think it's gone by the wayside, the whole saying it quietly until Hatov ki l'chol rachamecha. I think that's really not so easy to come by anymore. Most people say modim out loud. However, Rav Soloveitchik held this way a little differently also, and you see it in a lot of places, where they'll wait. So where does that come from? So it's based on halacha in Birkas Kohanim, where the tour is discussing the psukim that are next to the Birkas Kohanim. You know what I'm talking about? All the siddurim, they have the pasuk next to Yivarecha, and there's a pasuk there, Hashem, a pasuk.
And all the machzorim at the bottom say, you're not supposed to say them. And
right. Scan with the eyes, right? So why are you scanning? So really, probably shouldn't scan them with the eyes either, and for the same reason of the tour, where the tour basically says, V'shashim v'varchin ein la'am lomar shum psukim. So these psukim date back way, I think they go back to the original Birkas Kohanim, even in the Beis HaMikdash. These psukim were put there for a reason, but he says that we don't say them. Says because he quotes the Gemara in Sota, B'shashim avarach na'am, ma'ahim omrim, baruch Hashem avarach, maskinen de lolim rinu kulam, I'm sorry, lolim rinu, he shouldn't say them. Why? Klum yesh evet shem avarach nosoveno ma'azin. It's ridiculous if somebody's going to give you a bracha and you're not paying attention. Says, Pirish, she'eno mechavin lebracha shem avarach noso. You're not having kavana for the bracha itself. V'im hayu omrim ha'psukim, lo hayu yichol mechavin bracha. Hilkach ein lomar shum pasuk eliyesh lishtok lechavin lebracha. So he says, don't say the psukim. You should listen to the bracha and have in mind to be yotze.
But it is okay to be like talking about dreams and whatever.
No, so that's why you only do it when they're having the niggin. Then you should stop. You shouldn't say it during the words.
In the middle of a bracha, though, right?
Right. So that's a whole question. Okay, that's there's Mishnah Berurah has a long discussion about like what's the right time to sing the niggun. Okay, but Lamaisa, when the words are said, you should be listening. You shouldn't be doing other things. So that's why I thought you shouldn't even be scanning them with the eyes, because that doesn't help you have kavana for the bracha. But either way, the idea of the tour is just saying that maybe once upon a time people were able to pull it off, that they could say the pasuk and have kavana for the bracha. But even already in the times of the Gemara, we don't do it. So based on that, Rav Soloveitchik suggested, yeah, once upon a time they said, you say modim derabanan. Shliach Tzibur will say modim regular. By the way, what is that, modim daraisa? So was it modim derabanan, modim deraisa?
I thought about that.
So why is it? No, so it's called modim derabanan because the text was put together. The Gemara quotes a number of different shitos as to what should be said in that modim, and then we say, all right, hilkach nimrinu lekulam, lekulhu. Let's say them all. So it was comprised by three or four different authors, and therefore they call it the modim derabanan, not lafuki modim deraisa. So So you'll say the modem derabban, and I'll say the modem deraisa, and I'll be, and you'll pay attention to it, right? That's not how it works. He's saying once you're saying the words, so it's like we can't say pay attention to Birkas Kohanim, can't pay attention to modem either when we're saying modem. So he liked it when the Shlech Tzibur would just say modem anachnu lach, and then wait till the crowd is expired, you know, the modem derabban sort of is finished, and then say shatahu Hashem elkeinu elkeinu, etc. So that was his practice, but not even without that practice. It seems that it's as long as the Shlech Tzibur is saying it out loud, the Mishnah Berurah says you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till the people are finishing up the Modim Darabanan. You can just keep going. So that's the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah there. Okay, there's got to be more stuff to talk about, but I think we did 43 sources. That's got to count for something.
Must you bow at the end of Modim Darabanan?
Ah, so that's really it. I didn't put that as a Shlech Tzibur thing. That's a Machlokes. Haposkim, the standard practice is yes to bow.
At the end, when
if you're saying modim derabanan, so should you bow baruch kel hodos? So the standard practice is to yes to bow. Although it's discussion in the Beis Yosef, the Vilna Gaon paskin, you don't bow during baruch kel hodos. But I think the standard psak is that you do bow.
Is there any relation between that bowing and bowing for the first modem?
Yeah, meaning you bow at the beginning and the end of the bracha of modem. The bracha starts modem anachnu lach and ends atov shimcha lachan elodos. So you bow at the beginning and the end of modem derabanan. But the end is baruch kelodos. So it's a whole machlokas. Is there even a baruch at the end of modem? So we have a compromise. The Yerushalmi says Baruch Ata Hashem Kel Odos, and Bavli doesn't have anything. So we compromise Baruch Kel Odos, and therefore, so the minhag I think is generally speaking to bow at that point. Yeah, I think. All right.